Good morning, brethren and sisters. This morning, I'd like to spend a few minutes thinking about a simple illustration called the Johari window, and especially one important lesson that comes from it, the need to let more life into our lives. At first, this Johari window might sound like an unusual subject for an exhortation, because it comes from the field of communication and psychology rather than directly from the Bible. But sometimes simple illustrations can help us understand spiritual principles in a very practical and memorable way. And I believe that this is one of those examples. The Johari window, and it's named this way after the guys that invented it, Joseph Luft and Harrington Ingham, is divided into four equal sections, like four panes in a window. We'll use this window example today to illustrate the four different areas our life can be divided into. The first area is the open area, which includes the things both we and others know and can clearly see about us. The second is the hidden area, which contains the things we know about ourselves but keep hidden from others. The third is the blind area, which refers to the things other people can see in us that we may not recognize in ourselves. And finally, there is the unknown area, the parts of our life and character that are not fully understood by us or by others. The purpose of the Johari window is to help people become more honest, more self-aware, and more open to growth. Spiritually, however, it reminds us that being a disciple means letting God's light shine into every corner of our lives. The more light we allow, the more we allow His light into our life, the more honest we become before God, the more willing we are to learn, and the more we grow to be Christ-like. Jesus said in John 8, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So this morning, let's think about these four areas of the window together and consider how we can allow more of God's light into each one. Starting at the first area, the open area, which is a part of our own lives that both we and other people can clearly see. This includes the way we speak, the attitudes we show, the way we react under pressure, the examples we present to those around us every day. Whether we realize it or not, people are constantly reading our lives. Our families observe us closely. Our children notice far more than we think. Our brethren and sisters see how we behave. And even the people at work or school quietly form impressions about what kind of person we are. The visible part of our life matters because our example can either encourage people towards Jesus or discourage them away from spiritual things. Jesus is the perfect example of someone who lived completely in the light. There was no difference between what he appeared to be outwardly and what he truly was inwardly. What people saw publicly was exactly who he was privately. They saw compassion in him when he dealt with the sick, patience when people misunderstood him, humility when he served others, and truth when he spoke the words of God. Jesus said in John 18, verse 20, "I have spoken openly to the world, Jesus replied. "I always taught in synagogues or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret." Jesus wasn't a hypocrite and his life was completely genuine. The Pharisees, on the other hand, provide the opposite example. Outwardly, they appeared righteous and religious, but inwardly, their hearts were far from God. In Matthew 23, verse 27, Jesus said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. The warning is important for us, all of us, because it is possible to appear faithfully outwardly while inwardly becoming spiritually cold. We can attend the memorial meeting, read the Bible publicly, and say the right words while quietly drifting away from God in our hearts. That's why light is so important, because light reveals what is real. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, "Walk as children of light." When God's light fills our lives, it takes away pretending and helps us to be sincere. The more we allow his word to shape us inside, the more genuine we become on the outside. David understood this when he wrote in Psalm 51, "Thou desirest truth in the inward parts." God is not looking for polished appearances or outward performance. He is looking for truth and sincerity within the heart. Barnabas is a good example of this kind of open and genuine discipleship. Acts says in Acts 11, verse 24, "He was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith." People could clearly see goodness and encouragement in Barnabas. His life strengthened others because the light of Jesus was visible in him. And brethren and sisters, that should challenge us to ask ourselves an important question. What do people consistently see in us? When others spend time around us, do they see kindness, patience, humility, and faith? Or do they mostly see frustration, negativity, pride, or selfishness? The more light we allow into our hearts, the more Christ-like we will become. The second area is the hidden area, which contains the things we know about ourselves but keep hidden from others. This may include fears, temptations, anxieties, failures, disappointments, and private struggles. Each one of us has a hidden area because there are parts of our lives that others simply cannot see. Often we become very skilled at hiding what is happening internally. We may smile outwardly while inwardly carrying fear or discouragement. We may appear calm while quietly struggling with anxiety or temptation. One of the clearest Bible examples of this hidden area is David after his sin with Bathsheba. For a while, David attempted to hide his sin. Outwardly, he still appeared to be the successful king of Israel, but inwardly, he was spiritually suffering. Psalm 32 describes his condition. "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." This hidden sin slowly drained David's joy and strength. Darkness can do that, and it can isolate us from God and prevents healing from taking place. But everything began to change when David finally brought his sin to the light. He said, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and thou forgavest." What a beautiful lesson that is for us. The moment honesty began, healing began also. Sometimes bringing things into the light is uncomfortable because human nature prefers darkness. Jesus said in John 3, "Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Naturally, we prefer hiding weakness, hiding failure, and appearing stronger than we really are. But spiritually, healing begins where honesty begins. The wonderful comfort for us is that God already knows every hidden part of our lives completely. And Psalm 139 reminds us, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Nothing surprises God. He sees every fear, every temptation, every anxious thought, every private struggle. Yet despite fully knowing us, he still offers mercy, forgiveness, and grace through Jesus. The hidden area can also contain hidden faithfulness. God sees the private prayers nobody else hears, the quiet acts of kindness that never receive recognition, and the personal sacrifices made in service to him. Jesus said, "Thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly." The third area is called the blind area, and this may be the most difficult one for us to accept. These are the things that people can see in us that we cannot easily recognize ourselves. Sometimes these blind spots involve pride, impatience, selfishness, fear, poor attitudes. The difficult thing about blind spots is that we are usually sincere when we fail to see them. A good example of this is Jonah. God called Jonah to Nineveh and preached repentance to the people there. But instead of obeying, Jonah fled in the opposite direction. At first, Jonah may have believed his actions were reasonable. The Assyrians were cruel enemies of Israel, and Jonah likely felt they were undeserving of mercy. From Jonah's perspective, avoiding Nineveh may have seemed justified. But Jonah could not see the deeper problem within his own heart. He could see the sins of Nineveh clearly, but he could not yet fully recognize his own lack of compassion and resistance to God's mercy. Even after God spared Jonah's life through the great fish, and Nineveh repented at the preaching, Jonah still struggled with his attitude. We read in Jonah 4 verse 1, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." Jonah wanted justice for others, but mercy for himself. His blind spot was exposed when God caused the plant to grow and then wither away. Jonah became upset over the loss of the plant, while God reminded him that an entire city full of people mattered far more. What a beautiful example what is beautiful in this example is the patience of God. Rather than casting Jonah aside, God carefully taught him, reasoned with him, and tried to help him see what he couldn't yet recognize in himself. That is often how God works with us. Sometimes we can clearly see weaknesses in others while remaining blind to similar problems with ourselves. We may justify our attitudes, defend our actions, or convince ourselves that our thinking is right, while God is trying to teach us a deeper lesson. Jesus warned about this spirit when he said in Matthew 7 verse 3 from the NIV, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" Spiritual maturity begins when we become willing to let God shine light into those hidden areas of our character. God may do this through his word, through trials, through exhortations, or through a loving correction from our brethren and sisters. Proverbs tells us, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." Sometimes the people who help us the most are those who lovingly show us things we do not naturally see ourselves. That is why David prayed in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me." This prayer takes humility because it invites God to reveal our blind spots. Yet it is also a prayer that allows more light into our lives, helping us become more Christ-like. The final area is the unknown area, which contains things unknown to us and unknown to others, but fully known by God. This includes future growth, future trials, our untapped potential, and even strengths we may not yet realize we possess. One of the most encouraging truths in the Bible is that God often sees possibilities in people that they cannot yet see in themselves. Moses looked at himself and saw weakness and inability. He asked, "Who am I?" But God saw a leader. Gideon saw himself as weak and insignificant, yet God called him, "Thou mighty man of valor." Timothy struggled with fearfulness, but Peter saw great potential in him and encouraged him to grow stronger in faith. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we only see our failures and limitations, but God sees what we can become through his grace. Philippians 1 verse 6 gives us this encouragement. "He which hath begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." God is still working with us. He is still shaping our character, refining our faith, teaching us humility, and helping us grow spiritually. And part of allowing more light into our lives means trusting God with the future, even when we do not fully understand his purpose at the time. We do not know what tomorrow holds, but God does. We do not know what trials may come, but God does. And the God who fully knows the future also promises in Hebrews 13 verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." What a comfort that is for us. In conclusion, the Johari window reminds us that spiritual growth is really about allowing more light into every part of our lives. There are parts of ourselves that are open and visible, which we gladly share our faith and walk together in fellowship. There are parts hidden that we struggle to reveal. There are blind areas that others may see more clearly than we do ourselves. And there are even unknown areas of our character and faith that only God fully understands. The wonderful thing is that God does not ask us to become perfect overnight. He works with us, just as he worked with Peter, David, Jonah, Moses, and so many others. He gently shines light into our hearts through trials, through exhortations, and through the influence of our brethren and sisters. The danger comes when we resist that light. Naturally, we often prefer to keep certain areas hidden. We may avoid self-examination because it can be uncomfortable and humbling. We can only grow when we're willing to step further into the light of God's truth. John wrote, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Notice that walking in the light is connected with fellowship. The more open, honest, humble, and teachable we become, the stronger our relationship becomes, both with God and with one another. That's probably the main lesson for us in relation to the Johari window. God is not simply interested in outward appearance or a religious routine. He wants hearts that are open before him, hearts willing to be searched, corrected, shaped, and transformed. So as we reflect now on our spiritual walk, we could ask ourselves some questions. What areas of my life need more light? What attitudes, fears, habits, or blind spots may God be trying to help me see? Am I willing to let him work within me? Let's continue allowing the light of God's word to shine more fully into our lives until the day when Jesus returns and all darkness is finally removed forever. As we now turn our minds to the bread and the wine, we're reminded that Jesus did far more than simply teach us to walk in the light. He made it possible for us to come into the light at all. Because of our weaknesses, our hidden failures, and our blind spots, we could never save ourselves. Yet in love and mercy, Jesus gave his life for us. Through his sacrifice, forgiveness is possible. Through his blood, darkness can be covered. Through his resurrection, we are given hope of a new life. And as we have these emblems together, let's be reminded of Jesus' sacrifice and let it encourage us to continue opening our hearts to God's light.